Welcome to Exploring Santa Cruz on K-Squid Community Radio, 90.7 FM on the dial and ksqd.org on the web. My name is Jean Kratzer. My guest today is...
Elke Riesterer. I'm a massage therapist and Shinjindo practitioner. This is an acupressure modality. And I also use the Tellington Touch for animals. I work with all species. Any creature on earth I would be able to touch, I will do. My main praxis is still with humans, where I get my income from. Otherwise, I volunteer different places in the world and at the Oakland Zoo here in California. I do love animals deeply. I feel like we are not so different from animals. It started when I got my first horse in the late 80s. And because I was doing massage on humans, I thought that would be a wonderful thing to do for a horse or any other animal. So I got my first horse. When I came to this country, I got my certification in massage therapy. And then through my horse, I learned about a woman called Linda Tellington Jones, and she created what is called the Tellington Touch. I took my horse to a workshop she held in the Santa Cruz area. I thought, wow, all the experiences she shared and the effect it has on horses. And it made completely sense to me because I knew already working on people how relaxing it is and calming. So the Tellington Touch became my favorite modality working on my mare. Before I started riding, I did a little bit of the circular touches. And then particularly when I came back from horseback riding, I did body work on her. It was my thank you for her to carrying me out in the wilderness. Tellington Touch is a circular motion. It goes basically clockwise. It's like a 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock over to 8. It's just one circle and a little bit more, and then you go to the next part of the body. So you don't have to know actually anatomy. It works with the nervous system, and the nervous system responds to touch very strongly. After a while, the animal and the human, you can do the Tellington Touch on humans too, drift into a calmer state of mind. And it's beautiful to see that with the animals, how they are just relax and close their eyes. I work with elephants, and when you see the elephant relaxing, they take a deeper breath. There is a stillness which you experience, and you can feel, I met that being on another level. It's kind of a meditation. You need to be very calm yourself. You have to move into this state of mind where nothing else is important, just that being under your hand. And so that's what I do, apply these touches. And then I watch the animals where I see there's maybe an area where the elephant or any other creatures get a little bit uneasy. Often it's like a part of the body which has a little bit of an issue. Maybe there was an injury, if they were abused by a handler before. You could see that you have to back off a little bit and work around that area and maybe come back to that spot. So it's a little bit of a dance. You have to dance with the energy, observing, pausing. You just hold the space and see what happens with that animal. Now I work more with elephants than with horses. My passion for elephants has a long tail. When I was in Nepal in 1983, and my partner and future husband, we spent 6 weeks in Nepal. We went to a national park, and there were elephants. It was a park also where you could observe rhinoceroses. You can go on an elephant's back ride and see the rhinoceroses. So that's what we did. Saw rhinos, and they are kind of have sometimes a little standoff between each other. A rhino can be very strong and fierce, and there's the mighty elephant. Nothing happened, but you know, a little tense situation. And it was such a powerful experience to be so close to an elephant. And a little bit later, I walking down the street and there was a mahout with this elephant is the handler. And they're called mahout in the Asian countries. I started a conversation with him. And then I also asked, do you mind, can I touch this elephant? And he said, yes, you can. But he was very protective. It was a bull elephant and you have to watch a little bit. So I had that interaction. And after that, I was just so in awe about elephants that it was kind of something in my mind all the time. Then I wanted to experience Africa. So in 1996, I went to Africa, to Kenya, to an elephant orphanage, Daphne Sheldrick Orphanage. There I began working on an elephant's body. There I have all these baby elephants who got rescued because poaching, lots of poaching and abandoned young elephants, babies without mother. And they have such a family structure. They're so close to each other. It's a beautiful society. And these little ones, they can't survive by themselves if they're only a few months old or a year or two. They're milk dependent pretty much till they're 4 years old, at least till they're 2 years old. There, I had the opportunity to work on two baby elephants. Then I worked on a rhino, an injured rhino. That was a wonderful experience to see the rhino responding so well to this type of body work. I talk about what I intend to do, and then I say to the person in charge of that animal, please place your hand on, and then I will place my hand right next to it. And then I'll sit with this for a little bit, just to allow the animal, there is a second person there, but the person who is in charge is the comfort person. So that animal already learned this person is safe and this new person is probably okay because my primary caretaker is there. That's how I start. And then I very gently start letting my hand move. Just no hurry. And that's how it usually works. I came back from Kenya and I have been supporting a place in California in this foothills called Performing Animal Welfare Society. They have elephants and also other species. One of their conferences, I met the curator of the Oakland Zoo and I told her what I'm doing with this touch. And I thought, maybe you're interested for me to working on your elephants. That's how it came about. I was invited by her, and then I started my journey at the Oakland Zoo, and I've been there since 1997. You know, elephants in a zoo, it's an artificial environment. So they are not really emotionally healthy beings because all the elephants in captivity in the United States, they come from Africa or from Asia, and they've been captured there, taken away from their family, and it's a trauma. So one of my focus is PTSD in elephants. All these animals at the zoo have a history of something dark, which I don't even know exactly. I only know that maybe their family members or several or one has been killed. And what was a practice back then, they took 2-year-old elephant babies and shipped them all over the United States or Europe or Asia. That was the praxis, without even thinking the psychological impact. So these elephants have deep, deep scars coming from that trauma. So I can always tell there is something what I don't know exactly because I sense it, I feel it, because I work very intuitively. And these environments is just not nature. An elephant is a nomadic creature. A zoo can never provide that, you know. So they have to cope with these unusual circumstances. And some elephants are better than others. They have the same span of personality like you and I react differently. One being is more capable of putting up with the situation, another not so much. Really, a lot of variation. I do just my best to give them something where they can feel their body maybe more. African elephants, for instance, they're kind of flighty a little bit more. The Asian elephant is more docile, is more earthy in the energy field. So an African elephant is like, wow, there's a voice, there's a sound, there's something. And then the eyes go big and the ears are out and the posture changes. And this is sadly happening in a zoo quite a bit because there is machines going, there's a commotion. And because it's an institution, I cannot really get the quiet and the peace which I would like to have. So I have always to take a deep breath. Okay, this is not just ideal, but I still can able to give some what I would be able to give if I would have more peace, more quiet, more suitable. There's a lot of sadness and it's not in my power to really change it. I try to model as much as I can, but often I'm also not so successful because there will be people, maybe one person in a zoo environment, for instance, who kind of tune in and can understand what I'm doing. But then other people, they would maybe think, oh, what is she doing? Body work on animals. So there is conflicting messaging. And I cried my tears about that too over all these years. I had friends, why are you still going there? Why you still can't do that? And I said, but I really, really believe I have something to offer, to give to these animals. And maybe I can also change some minds.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Exploring Santa Cruz on K-Squid Community Radio, 90.7 FM, and on the web at ksqd.org. My name is Jean Kratzer, and my guest today is Elke Riestera. Elke is a Santa Cruz massage therapist who also does body therapy for all species. That includes elephants, rhinos, dolphins, snakes, giant tortoises, you name it, Elke will massage it. Elke's stories are moving, inspiring, sometimes heartbreaking, but always worth listening to. So please stay tuned.
I'm very involved in all these issues about captivity. I'm an activist for change. I'm a part of an organization called World Elephant Alliance, founded by us, by a group of five women. In 2018, there was an elephant conference in Portland, Oregon, put on by Free the Oregon Elephants. That's a zoo up there in Oregon. Out of that, five people wanted to form a non-profit, World Elephant Alliance. And you can find us on Facebook and we have a website. We want to educate people who go, for instance, to Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, India, and have elephant experiences. They're advertised, you can go and ride an elephant and all this. We have been working very hard to break that. Do not support riding elephants. Elephants should not be ridden at all. Their spine is affected by these saddles they put, these are wooden saddles. It's really not an animal we should ride, and it should actually not be in captivity. I totally believe elephants belong to nature. This is their home and not being used by us humans. We so attached to the human dominance over other beings which are not like us and do with them whatever we want. And it's just not acceptable. It's really painful for my soul. And that's why I'm so engaged, whatever I can do, that we change that. And there is changes happening. It's not a dark picture. We have to look for the light. We look for more awareness. And there is. Awareness is growing. And our organization is part of it, besides others who really say, do not go to Asia and ride elephants. We need to shift our behavior. And we need to listen. Elephants give us signals. And they can be numbed out by all this attention. They can also react. And we have lots of incidents where people get injured by elephants, particularly in a country like India, where they have these temple festivals. In southern India, in Kerala, where I worked with temple elephants, and I worked with captive, mainly bull elephants, who were selected for me to try my body therapy on them and see how they respond. These elephants go to horror because they have religious festivals and they have maybe 8, 16, maybe 20 elephants standing in a half moon circle, all decorated. And then they have mahouts standing on top of them with beautiful feathers, umbrellas. Beautiful to see. It's an eye candy, but it's not an eye candy for an elephant. An elephant is in chains. They have chains around their legs. They have to stand there for hours in the sun. And there are all these parades going on, all this loud music, firecrackers. It's so intense that I just said, I can't handle this. My ears were hurting. And you know, elephants have sensitive ears. How are they coping with all that? They are forced to endure that. And then we have Ganesh, the elephant god. There is nothing godly about this. Nothing. Worshipping the elephant god, what are we worshipping here? We're worshipping captivity. We're worshipping chains. We're worshipping an elephant is beaten to behave. Is made afraid of the hooks and the sticks they're using to keep that elephant in place and not move. And that is heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. There is change happening. In India, there are also animal groups. It's talked about, it's in the press. And I talked about it when I was there. I had to be careful how much you oppose it. It's a diplomatic dance you have to do, you know. But there is Sangeeta Iyer, an Indian woman who lives in Canada, and she's very active. Her organization is called Voice for the Asian Elephants, and I support her strongly because it's a good thing that a woman is from the country to try to make an impact. We have to keep going. We have to keep going. And all these organizations who are active in Asia, they do their best and they move things. We have a lot of work ahead of us, but I want to be positive and not negative. I want to see the light and not only the darkness. I have demonstrated always what I do and encourage people to follow. For instance, at the Auckland Zoo, I taught the curator of the Auckland Zoo to do these telling in touch circles, and she does them when I'm not there. She does them once a week, and that's beautiful. I'm so happy that she followed that. But there was nobody else. There were interests by others, but then it never really took that much of a hold. I also work with reptiles. I work with Aldabra tortoises. It's the largest tortoise in the world, actually almost similar to the Galapagos turtles. They're huge, like 350 pounds. The tortoises are amazing. They react so beautifully. They have the big shell, and they feel the shell too, because they have to go under something in the wild, and they need to know, can they fit under the branch? They feel. They actually, people don't think they would feel, but they do feel. But that's not where I mainly work. I work on the soft parts, on the tail, on the legs. And a tortoise stands all the way up and stretches everything out so that I can reach all these areas. And the skin is a little bit similar like an elephant. Not everywhere, but it's the softer areas like the face of an elephant or the belly or the butt area. There is a lot of softness there, and the tortoises have that too. So it's very soft, and you can move it, and I can do my circles and go all the way to the toes. I wiggle the toes a little bit too, move in them in little circles, and then the neck and the face, and I massage the cheeks. The eyelid of a tortoise is going up from underneath, and I stroke along that, and I just love it. It's just very sweet. I have 3 males and 3 females. The 3 males are just more boisterous. two of the males, they're very close, they're kind of really buddies. And one receives my body work and the other sees it and comes right over and wants it too. It's super sweet. And then they make this sounds like, oh, oh, it's just adorable. And the females are just more timid. So is it okay? Can I relax? And then they come around. They know me for years and they know my voice too. And then I touch and then one is very shy and then, oh, she's here. And then she comes out of her shell and it is very precious, very precious. And I work with snakes too. Yes, I work with three pythons. There are two females and one male. I take them out and I do the same thing. I do little circles on their body. I take them outside that they get some little bit grass. They can slither through the grass and feel the nature because they're also in a kind of a tiny little room. And then I do some rocking. I rock the snakes. I hold them on my body and rock them. And it's very calming. And I rock other animals too. I've rocked horses. I rock the elephants. I have worked with an injured elephant in Thailand. And I rocked her quite a bit. And she loved it. You just go and push a little bit and you can rock an elephant. It works. They go with the movement. In Thailand, I worked with an elephant who stepped on a landmine. I had a bandage on the foot. The landmine exploded in the bottom of the foot. You know, Cambodia had a lot of landmines laid to the Thailand border. And the elephants are nomadic and they have these kind of injuries. So there's more than one. This particular elephant, Kungzi, you know, when you hurt yourself, then the rest of the body tries to compensate. And so the other side, the healthy side, the muscles got very tight. So I lengthened it and worked on this injured side. And she was actually eventually being able to stand on that foot again. It was quite remarkable. I worked with dolphins in the Florida Keys. There is a place called the Dolphin Research Center. And I went there, I think it was in 1994, before I actually started working with elephants. I applied the T-Touch circles to about three dolphins there. I volunteered to just do all the preparing of the food and so. And then my last few days, the head keeper let me work on some of the dolphins. And they're very sensitive beings. I worked on one dolphin who was always nervous. He did his flippers constantly. He was just not relaxing. And when I worked with my method, she was relaxing. And the person who took care of her, the head keeper, I said, oh, I've never seen that. It was very, very surprising for them to see something like that. I mentioned a reptilian family. I mentioned elephants, rhinos. I have worked on horses and dogs, cats, giraffes. No tigers. I did a little bit on a cheetah when I was in Zimbabwe. I don't shy away from going to all kinds of different animals which I haven't been able to work with. But you can only do so much. My focus has been really elephant issues. Elephants in captivity, elephants in the wild. And then my educational interest in supporting all these organizations who are fighting for elephant freedom, for conservation issues. Then, of course, my World Elephant Alliance group deal with all this and want to keep going on, show the things behind the scenes, what people not easily can see. And, you know, there's the circus world. We have still elephants in the circus, but this is another success story. Campaigning, going to the circus and educate. Elephants should not be performing for us. This is cruel. Auckland Zoo was very big on that. They were really going after the whole thing about circuses should stop using the animals for entertainment. As you maybe know, Ringling Brothers stopped having elephants. And that's a big success. And the Performing Animal Society, big on that. They're going after the circus over and over again. So we made inroads. And there are still some small circuses and there's still some elephants. But there's shifts. The sanctuary model is really important. And it needs to be in the right way. It needs to be an ethical sanctuary. And that is often misused What means ethical? You want to have the attendance of people to these places on a very low scale. This is an elephant home forever. And that is your focus, not having lots of visitors coming. It's not a zoo, and you don't want to have these activities like you can base our elephant, etc., etc. So there's one sanctuary now in Brazil. This sanctuary is absolutely fantastic because Scott Blyers is a friend of mine. He started this sanctuary, and they have elephants coming from different states in South America to this sanctuary. It is a godsend that there are places where elephants can retire who have been in the zoos and in the circuses. So this place is doing everything they can to give them a wonderful home. Yes, medical care if they need, but they have space to roam, to be with other elephants, and can live as much as a natural life as is possible, even under the circumstances that it is still basically a captive environment, because even you have tons and tons of acres, it's still, they cannot just go anywhere. There will be boundaries. There are other places. There's an elephant sanctuary in Tennessee, and I was invited to come there. There's another elephant sanctuary in France, which I'm also supporting. It's a couple who is doing that, and they're ready to get their first elephants. There is a big need for elephants in Europe because there's lots of zoos. There's still circuses of elephants, and they are ready to have their first three elephants to come to them, the first elephant sanctuary in Europe. The whole issue of living in harmony with nature is very, very dear to me, and that we really need to take this on as a society and all the societies in the world. We have global warming. It will change so much for us humans, but it changes a lot to the animals too. I'm writing a book. It's called A Healer's Journey with Elephants. And I hope that gets eventually completed. Thank you so much for interviewing me. It was a pleasure.